shorts and bag.
That's a nasty looking finger, lady.
You got the bait?
What? No.
Hey, I got your fertilizer.
We made you.
Welcome back, interweb friends. This is Stop the Movie I Want to Get Out. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. I'm Alex Dunbar. I'm joined this week by Cody Wolf.
There's literally no catchphrases from this movie.
Like, it's just actually super creepy towards when he got.
Yeah, there's no, like, if there's a catchphrase from this movie, it would be someone creepily voyeuring somebody else. Yes. Like, that's like, there's no, yeah, there were no pull quotes. And Christy Smorrell is here with us.
The only one
well.
I can think of is Miles is Sexy.
Oh yeah, that's true. That computerized Miles is, because it was like they made it just weird enough to.
I was wondering when they introduced that, like where that was going. Like they had to come back at some point.
Yeah,
and when it did, it was. I mean,
when that came back, I
yeah, yeah. That was weird.
Our movie this week this movie I should say has been recommended to me a lot over the past few years, and I was always kind of like. I don't know. And people would be like, oh, it's crazier than you'd think. And it just kind of kept getting like, the can kept getting kicked down the road. Mm-hmm. I totally get it after watching why people were recommending this movie to us. It's from 2007.
Yes.
But it doesn't feel like
I had to double check what year this movie was from because the way they treat technology is just so weird. You've got that security guard in the beginning that seems to marvel at a laptop, but then Miles can recreate Harrison Hill's voice.
Yeah. Yeah.
I forgot about the laptop security guard.
Yeah. I loved that. Yeah. The security guard in the beginning is like, he's never seen a laptop before. Yeah. And I had to think about that. I'm like, my sister had a laptop in like 1995. Oh, like, yeah. You know, laptops by 2007 were very common.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm thinking, he's never seen a laptop. This must be, you know, a while ago. Oh, post-Katrina? Okay. Wait, what year is this? Yeah.
I think this script kicked around for a while because a lot of this just felt like a 90s, like a sort of like a mid-90s, like Disclosure, Basic Instinct, like all of those kind of like erotic thrillers, but that weren't really like...
I wanted it to be a perfect murder.
Yes.
That's what I was hoping for, that it was going to be along that vein, but it was no.
No.
Just crazy.
No, it's just, yeah, and it this movie comes out hot. It's crazy from the opening scene, and it just...
Yeah, the opening scene takes a quick turn.
It, like, what's it takes a fast turn into crazy town. Yeah.
Forgetting the world of journalistic ethics.
Oh, yeah,
reality.
Yeah. I also got a kick out of this. Cody is a graphic designer. I just kind of liked how the opening credit sequence was basically just screensavers.
I was trying to figure out like what that... You kind of find out what it is later on, but I was like, is this like space or is this...
Yeah, it really felt like what my computer would have done in 2007 to like not have burn-in on the screen.
I thought you were going to say, as a graphic designer, what did I think of the terrible Photoshop job on the senator's photos that she's...
Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about really that. Yeah. That was incredible. Yeah. So Halle Berry is meeting with a senator. As we mentioned, a security guard is shocked by her laptop. He even has the line, he's like, oh, people bring computers everywhere nowadays. Like, nowadays?
Yeah. That's why I was trying to figure out what year it was supposed to be.
Yeah. And she's meeting with a senator.
Senator Sachs.
Senator Sachs. Supposedly to talk about like publicity photos, I guess. Like,
yeah, it was...
For some sort of brochure for Family First or something. Like,
yeah.
Clearly something. He's supposed to be the family values candidate.
Yeah.
Or politician. And she's from a family values group.
And so she's supposedly, and one of the photos is him and his staff supposedly cleaning up from Hurricane Katrina. How a studio film got away with doing this, I will never understand. It is the worst Photoshop.
I thought she was going to like call him out for being like, no, this is a Photoshop photo. You didn't actually help with the cleanup efforts or the rescue efforts. Because it was bad.
I don't even know how to describe it. I mean, it doesn't... Calling it Photoshop maybe is a credit to it. It actually looks like someone like cut out a photo and just put it on another photo.
Yeah, it was bad.
I really waited for that too. And so then she's just going over these photos with him. And then she kind of turns the tables and starts grilling him about his relationships with interns.
Yes.
With male interns.
Male interns. Yes. And he's kind of freaking out. And then she reveals that she works for a journalist, like some like,
but
I did not understand the whole point of why she has a pen name as a journalist.
Yeah, she says she works with, it was like David Shane.
I work for David Shane.
I thought it was okay. So I'm like, okay, that's her boss at the paper.
Right. Which it took me a while to figure out that she was David Shane.
Literally, like 10, 20 minutes later, I finally figured out, like, they finally made it clear that she was, for some reason, had this guy's.
That she was David Shane. Yeah. Yeah. Right. And then.
So apparently, David Shane is like a super well-known, feared journalist or something.
Who has ever seen a pen name, who no one has ever seen. Okay. And then the senator kind of starts freaking out, and he's like, oh, I'll pay you whatever you want. And then it turns out she's been recording or live streaming this on her laptop back to Giovanni Ribisi in New York, who's rolling on it. And they're like, and she's like, haha, gotcha. Now, let's talk about, all three of us have worked in journalism. She commits two crimes in this opening scene and one very unethical thing. She gains entrance to his office under false pretenses, which is actually illegal to do as a journalist in the famous Food Lion case.
Yep.
She does an illegal wiretap, essentially illegally records his conversation.
But they try to make that seem somehow legal, because they're like, oh,
there are different laws depending on different states. Going back to, I mean, again, we've all been journalists. Going back to some famous local cases, there are the
single party or two. And we're really journalism nerding out here, but
and which state it's being said in, and which state
it's being recorded in,
which is why they were recording it.
They were recording it in New York.
They were recording it. I think in DC to record, the other party has to know they're being recorded.
But in New York, I think only one party has to know.
In New York, it's one party.
So technically,
I don't know why they just didn't have this take place in New York. Just have the senator in New York.
He's a New York senator. It's right on his door.
Yeah.
Why not just?
And she's working under a pen name, which. No, we all know, we work with journalists every day. No big name reporter would ever work under a pen name.
Yeah, like, why is it? She's not like an author. I don't understand. This was another reason
why I was trying to figure out what year it was, because 2007, Facebook had already been invented. Yeah. Twitter had already been invented.
Yeah.
How in the world could a journalist never show their face in that world? Like, this isn't the 50s where all you get, or excuse me, like the 20s where all you get is a paper and you may never see the journalist. Like, in 2007, you would see a journalist's face.
So that mean every like interview that's ever been done by this journalist was done by someone who works for this journalist in Halle Berry.
So then why would anyone ever be afraid of this journalist? Like,
no one's ever seen
this person. They'd be like, oh, I guess I talked to his assistant, or nothing about this made any sense.
And there's no reason for her to keep it. Like, there's no reason to do it.
No.
The only thing I can think is because she later on catches Miles and says, did you tell her I was David Shane? Like, that's the only thing I can think of for it. And that's not enough.
I'm going to give one of my big theories about this movie coming early on. I bet that an early draft of the script, the Giovanni Ribisi character was the main character and was David Shane. And the Halle Berry character was either like his friend or another employee at the paper or something else. But I bet in an early draft, Giovanni Ribisi is David Shane, and that when Halle Berry came on board, her people were like, no, she should be the lead. And they just awkwardly were like, okay, I guess she's going to be that character and the lead, and we'll bump the Giovanni Ribisi role down to sidekick.
Well, if that's true, then the makeout scene in the restaurant with Bruce Willis would have been really awkward.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
everything about Giovanni Ribisi's character would have been really awkward.
Oh, yeah. It would have made it very, you know.
Well, not that it wasn't awkward already.
Yeah. It got weird. But I was happy to see him. I've always liked Giovanni Ribisi when I see him and stuff. So when I saw him, I was like, okay, this is one thing in this movie that I'll enjoy.
And you know what?
And I did enjoy him, but he got, I mean,
he does a good job with the creepy.
He's pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, even when this movie goes, like, from, I don't know, I can't even say when it goes off the rails, because it's already off the rails. Like, when this movie, like, falls on its side, he's even kind of, like, you can tell he's trying to hold his part together the best he can, even as the movie is gone.
Yeah.
But, he's really good. And it kind of bummed me out, actually, because it was, as I was coming up with this theory, I was like, I actually would have been curious to see what another draft of this script would have been like, where maybe there actually was a little more mystery. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was a little more like a perfect murder or something like that. We did not get that movie, sadly. Oh, and by the way, Halle Berry's editor, totally okay with all of this. Like the gaining under the false pretenses, the wiretap. The editor's totally on board with this.
Yeah.
And they go and get, is this what, they're getting drunk at a restaurant?
They're celebrating because the story's going to run tomorrow. So they're getting drunk,
They're getting drunk.
But the story doesn't seem done yet because they still have to get like a quote from the intern or something.
Well, she has the quotes from the intern already.
And he just takes it.
But then they have to go double check the quotes or something like that.
They do.
The editor's still not done. The editor's going to double check. Still a little premature to celebrate.
Yeah.
Because the editor comes in and he's like, oh, your intern source doesn't want to cooperate with the story anymore. But I'm like, you already have this source on the record. Like, this movie really has a lot of issues with, like, how journalism works.
Yeah, you have to forget journalism ethics and realities
I'm
in
like,
this movie.
Like, you have this person on the record. You have all the material you need. Right. Like, if you, as a paper, want to go forward with the story, you certainly can.
Point,
like, you're there. But they're pulling the story and it's like heavily implied of like someone is pulling the strings or corporate interests or I don't know. There's some vague, there's a whole other vague
conspiracy.
Because
the paper endorsed the senator when he was running for election and so they don't want to make him look bad. I don't know. Cause he paid them off.
Yeah.
It really becomes moot.
Yeah.
At this point.
Yeah.
And I was also thinking like, sex scandal, I hate to say it, but not that big a deal in this world. There's a sex scandal every other day. Like if it had been
in 2007,
money, well, that's true. But if it had been like money laundering or, you know, something
really
criminal as opposed to he's a family values candidate and really he's a closeted man. Like that,
right.
That doesn't seem like the crazy sensational Pulitzer Prize winning.
David Chain's bread and butter is sex scandals though, so.
They did say that at one point, didn't they? There was something. Oh, I felt like they did say something about like how this is like right up David Chain's alley or something like that. And I was like, what is, if that's right up his alley, I don't want to have anything to do with his alley. Yeah.
She gets very, very upset at the restaurant and she quits.
Right. And she goes from like, by the way, I'm okay if I never again see Halle Berry play a happy drunk because that was a messy scene. But she seems to sober up instantly.
Oh, yeah.
And leaves the restaurant.
Yeah, she goes from very, very drunk to not drunk at all. I just thought of that, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of this movie, I feel like there was, like, right off camera, there was, like, a Wheel of Fortune-style wheel that they were spinning that had emotions on it. And they would just do it before a take. And that would be, like, what Halle Berry's emotion in that scene was going to be. Because it's not too consistent from scene to scene.
So she leaves and she's like walking to the subway and you see a woman like chasing after her, calling her name.
Yes.
And so she gets to the train, but the door is closed before she can get on and takes off. And then the woman's like, oh, hey, Rowena. And she's like, oh, you again, Grace or whatever her name is. I think it's Grace, right?
Grace. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Grace is creepy and sketchy. I mean, everybody in this movie is creepy, but Grace is sketchy from the start.
Yeah.
This scene, I mean, we could do a podcast on this scene because it is both the crux of the movie and where the movie falls apart.
Because you don't know, like, what's happening here until the end of the movie, like, why Halle Berry's acting the way Halle Berry's acting.
Right.
So it's very...
Well, you do figure out a little while later that Grace slept with her boyfriend. So you think that's why.
But they don't even give you that until, like, I would say 20. It's a few scenes later before you get that. So you kind of watch this weird scene play out between Halle Berry and this other blonde lady. And you're, like, nothing is in alignment in the scene.
Yeah.
Like, you can tell that something is off. And because the blonde lady seems very friendly towards Halle Berry. Halle Berry seems very guarded towards this other lady. And I just have all these notes where I'm like, I don't understand. And they're like, she's throwing out names. She's like, Harrison Hill. Yeah. And I'm like, who's like Harrison Hill? Yeah, like,
they definitely made it seem like we should already know who Harrison Hill is. Like, I wonder if there was a deleted scene where,
something.
You know, they showed some sort of press conference with him or something to say that Harrison Hill is a big name.
You still don't see him until like, five more scenes.
That's a while from here. I actually rewound because I was like, did this lady already have a scene and I missed it? I like accidentally, but I'm like, nope, this is her entrance into the movie.
And here's where you get the right up his alley line. I just remembered because she's like, oh, I've been emailing with this Harrison Hill guy. He's got a wife. He's cheating on her with me and blah, blah, blah. And she hands the file to Halle Berry and she's like, I figured this would be right up David Chain's alley. Which at this point, I'm still thinking, like, okay, so she wants her to bring it to her boss, David Chain.
Right.
And at this point, like, she just quit the paper, so she'd be like, oh, I don't work there anymore. I still didn't realize that she was David Chain.
This scene is mass confusion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and made... Also, it must have been a nightmare for them to put together. I don't know if you guys noticed. At one point, there's a dissolve in the conversation where they go from standing to sitting... Which I feel was just like the editor and the director just punting and being like, I give up.
There were several times in this movie where I felt like there was just random, like, changes in scenery that made no sense. Like, she's on the phone with Miles and... or they're, like, talking in real life, and then she's on the phone with him getting a beer, and then they're talking in real life again. Like, lots of just random...
There's one at the end where it's like... like during the big reveal where I'll bring up later where it's like
they go from like four different
they're having one conversation and it's like linear conversation but they change like they're laying on the couch and then they're sitting in a hallway and then they're like in a it's insane.
They're so weird.
Yeah.
And you know, and I also like, and I don't want to spoil, it's hard to talk about this scene without talking about the ending of the movie, so maybe we'll save that, but with all of us knowing the ending, I feel like this was an impossible scene for Halle Berry. And I'm going to give Halle Berry a little credit here because I think she's realizing, how do you play this scene authentically where her performance in this scene will make sense to somebody the second time around, but will also make sense the first time around. And it's impossible. There's no way.
I will say, she does do a pretty good job of making it clear that she is incredibly uncomfortable with this person, but they definitely have history.
Yeah.
Right.
But she had just like mentioned her boyfriend at that point and be like, okay.
Right.
Yes.
Like, oh, you slept with my boyfriend. Okay. Yes. Now I understand.
The script needed to help Halle Berry here.
Right.
Or like, if there was some, if the regards to your mother line, which later on we know is a threat, but... At the time, it was, oh, okay, so they've known each other since they were kids. If that line was earlier on or something like that to give you that hint that they do have years of history and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know if she was a coworker. I didn't know. Yeah. I mean, I think Halle Berry does her best with what she was handed, but... Like, oh my God, this scene is a nightmare
because Chris is right. If they had established here, because you don't find out until afterwards that they were friends since they were kids.
Right.
So like you said, at this point, like, I'm okay, is this woman like one of her sources or something? Or because she keeps asking like, what do you want now? What do you want now? Or someone she like.
Right.
So in my head, it's someone who she doesn't have a history with. If you knew they had a history, it'd be a little more interesting. The scene would make more sense.
Like it would make more sense. Yeah. And then right after this, we get the first of these weird... I mean, are they dream sequences? Because some of them happen when she's awake.
First we get a flashback to 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, I was going
to
bring that.
Like, she's standing at her window, and she's flashing back to the train conversation and the drunk conversation with Miles.
Which
like,
we just saw.
We don't need that.
Yeah. And this has to be, like, a record for, like, time in a movie where a flashback is used.
I was watching it, I'm like... Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
It just happened. I'm good. You don't need to explain that. Yeah. And then comes, it is a dream sequence because she does wake up.
You're right.
But then I'm like, wait, okay, that's a flashback that I could probably use because it's not something I just saw.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Doesn't make any sense at the moment. Okay, she was abused by her father, I guess.
Right.
You know.
It's one of those, like, you're foreshadowing something.
Yeah, which I was just thinking, oh, was Grace the one that said in that conversation, we were around since your father? But no, that was when Grace's mother comes in. Yeah. So that hasn't happened yet.
So then what do we get? We get a... Somewhere in here it comes out that Grace was killed.
Her mother... Yeah, Grace's mother calls Halle Berry and says, like, Grace went to New York and I haven't heard from her in a few weeks or whatever. And she's like, and then I saw on the news they found a woman's body in the river and I'm afraid it's her. And
yeah.
Which I don't know why she made that jump. There's, I mean, millions of people in New York City. Yeah, I mean, but she's like, it's my daughter.
Yeah.
So Halle Berry's like, I promise you it's not your daughter. I just saw her last week. I'll go to them. She has like a bunch of sources at the morgue apparently. And she's like, I'll go check the morgue for you.
Because as a famous reporter whose face has never been seen, she's got a bunch of sources that will let her do whatever she wants. Yeah.
She only wants to see a body, sure.
Right. And we get the first of two hilariously overdone, like, New York City character portrayals of the lady New York City cop. I mean, just dialed it up.
It's the same character.
It is. Well, she's one. The other one is Halle Berry's friend at the Harrison Hill ad agency, who also has a New York City accent that is dialed to 15.
I thought you meant two lady cops.
Oh, no. Yeah, okay. Just her. Yeah, there's two, like, actors where they just said, like, be as New York as you can. And be a please be a parody of someone from New York City on top of a parody. and we find
out... Well, she sees the body and she IDs it as Grace.
Yeah, which is also, like, crazy. Like, this body is, like... Like, well, I don't... I cannot imagine they would be bringing... Like,
it's a pretty...
It's pretty gruesome.
They want her to ID the body by, like, a tattoo on her ankle.
Yeah.
But so I feel shows like they would face. Show a picture, not right. show the entire body.
He says, like, oh, the face is a mess. We can't ID her based on her face. But he shows her mutilated face anyways.
Right.
And it's like, can you identify her by, her, like, a tattoo or a birthmark or something?
Right. And then...
Does she have a tattoo? They never say if she actually has a tattoo or a birthmark or anything.
Or something,
Do you know anything? Yeah.
Yeah,
or they could have just been like, we're going to peel it back to go get this tattoo. I mean, then they're like, oh, hold on, let me peel it back and show you the whole monster face. You know?
Yeah. And he starts out with, this isn't pretty.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know what morgue workers are like in real life, but I would hope they'd be a little bit more tactful.
I think so, yeah. And so at some point in here, Giovanni Ribisi, who was, I think, in the early part of the movie, was Halle Berry's assistant.
Or I never really got that.
There's a mention later on of being in research. So he's like her researcher.
Okay. He's like her researcher. He still works at the newspaper.
He's her hacker, really.
Basically, yeah.
Like that movie hacker that can do anything.
Yeah. Yeah,
because all newspapers have hackers on there.
Yeah, I mean, I kept expecting her to call him and be like, you know, hack into the mainframe.
Yeah.
Him, you know, him have like 8 monitors in front of him and be like, hold on. But like, we start getting hints of this really weird friendship between the two of them.
That starts when the night when they're drinking, because he like kisses her neck and the editor sits down and says, be careful next time he'll aim for your lips. Yeah. Like, clearly he's got a crush on her, but... She also, like, when she talks to him, she gets super close to him and, like,
she's
like seducing him.
Right.
But then at other times is, like, weirdly fighting with him. Like, this is, again, where there's, like, the wheel of emotions that I feel like is being spun for her character of, like, in some scenes, she's so antagonistic and volatile with him. And then in other scenes, she's, like, best friends with him. And I guess maybe the ending of the movie is supposed to explain a little of that, but I don't know if it really does.
It doesn't.
No, I don't think so.
It felt a little bit more to me like she just, like, their relationship was the kind where he was obsessed with her and she knew it, kind of liked it, and used it to her advantage.
Right, she needed his.
Yeah.
His,
and also got skills. Annoyed by it at times.
And
Yeah.
Like, it was, you know, she liked it until it got inconvenient, and then she'd get mad at him, and then she'd need him again. And,
right.
But then sometimes they did seem like they were best friends.
Yeah.
because there was the line about how he picked up the pieces when her boyfriend cheated on her. So clearly, like, so there was supposed to be some sort of emotional connection there too.
Right.
Their whole relationship didn't really make sense.
Let's talk about the boyfriend who becomes a character in this movie for reasons I cannot fathom.
Just for that sex scene for Giovanni Ribisi to watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So Halle Berry brings her ex-boyfriend over.
Well, we don't know he's her ex-boyfriend.
You don't know who this guy is.
We don't. Yeah. We have no idea who he is. But Giovanni Ribisi is still hanging around in Halle Berry's apartment. Locks and personal boundaries do not exist in the world of this movie.
And at this point, like, there really wasn't too much indication that he was super creepy, just that he was kind of into her.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And then all of a sudden he's like creeping in the shadows in her apartment, watching her have sex with this guy. But you find out later it was her boyfriend.
Is her ex-boyfriend. Right. I have notes here. I'm like, this is weird.
Yeah. Like I really thought it was he like just hadn't left yet and was like caught in an awkward situation where he's like, oh no, I'm still here. I have to hide in the shadows. But
then they kind of played it's like, no, he's kind of like here to watch. Later, and I'm like, eee.
Well, as Halle Berry and the boyfriend are coming back in and like they start to have sex in the kitchen, I'm like, oh, the friend's still there. And he's totally gonna watch.
You know what my next note on this was? How did Giovanni Ribisi leave? At what point was he able to leave in a not awkward way? You know,
At some point they made it to the bedroom and he snuck out.
You have to imagine at some point someone was like, "Hey, was that the door? Like, did I just hear the door?"
It was actually at that point where I thought, "Oh, maybe he killed Grace."
Right.
Yeah, that's where you start. They plant that seed a little bit.
Yeah.
Because if they shot multiple endings, that's probably where they were like, hey, get this footage in case we go with that ending.
Yeah, they're definitely setting up that angle. They set up a couple different
Well, and the beauty of, I guess angles. We're skipping ahead a little bit, but I think every character in the movie slept with Grace. I mean, you know.
Well, he says that at one point. She says, oh, you slept with Grace, and he said, who hasn't, or something like that.
Yeah, literally, I expected the newspaper editor to come in and be like, me too, guys. You know?
Like, so did David Chang.
Yeah. The senator from the beginning comes in. He's like, I like male interns, but she was all right, too. You know? And so I guess we haven't even kind of gotten to, like, sort of the premise of this movie is that Halle Berry tells Giovanni Ribisi that these notes from Grace show that she had been dating this Harrison Hill.
Who is supposedly some big name we're supposed to recognize.
Some huge ad executive. Yeah. And that the notes that Grace gave Halle Berry these notes that seemed to imply that she had this weird relationship with Harold Hill. So Halle Berry is saying to Giovanni Ribisi, Harold Hill, the music man, he's the one who did it. That Harrison Hill is the one who did it. So her plan,
because she finds out, I don't know if you mentioned it, she finds out that Grace was pregnant.
Oh, that's right.
She was killed.
That's right.
So she figures that he found out she was pregnant and killed her, so that...
Although, really, it's set up that she was already, you know, she was going to go tell the wife. Like, it was set up before you found out she was pregnant, that he had motive.
Right.
Now that the pregnancy thing didn't really go anywhere.
Yeah, it's a little bit like the Halle Berry's boyfriend thing of, like, it's an element that's introduced that really sort of is like, nope, I don't, that never, no real point for it.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't bring anything. Like, you never, by the end of the movie, you still don't know. Like,
you don't know who the father is.
Yeah.
So you're like, okay. You know, it's almost like the opposite of Chekhov's gun. If you're going to introduce a gun, you're going to introduce a pregnancy, and then at the end, you're like, who knows? You
know. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
It's the reason there is a theory for Chekhov's gun. Like, you can't do that. You're not supposed to do that.
Yeah. So Halle Berry's big plan is she's going to get a temp job at Harrison Hill's ad agency to get more...
To get close to his computer, I think, to hack into his email.
That is the theory, is to hack into his email to get, quote-unquote, proof. Even though at points during the movie, Giovanni Ribisi is like, I don't know what we're really going to be able to prove here, because some of what they're talking about are like, oh, this movie's, we should also mention, this movie's fascinated with instant messaging.
Yeah. Yes.
Which,
again, trying to figure out what year this was. By 2007, instant messaging was really
sliding. But it was really gone. I mean, instant messaging was very 2002, you know,
maybe. I think it was still, because I was in college still at the time, and I was in messaging a lot.
Yeah.
At points. But, I mean, I don't think it was...
It was fading.
It was definitely fading.
I mean,
that's
college
that
students instant messaging, not like
not
Harrison Hill trying to hook up with chicks.
Yeah. Well, and it also presents this world of instant messaging where you're instant messaging like strangers, and like it's almost like someone was like, yeah, it's like Craigslist, you know, and it was like, no, I don't what? No, like that's not how instant messaging works.
Yeah, because it had some like special hookup site or something. Because she just starts an email
Giovanni Ribisi at one point says something about a chat room, but there's never any chat room. Yeah, it's not like she goes into a chat room, meets this guy, and then does like the private chat. It's just
people just hey there.
Yeah, it's almost like they invented like Messenger for Facebook or something. Like that's basically, kind of what
but then
this is.
Where just guys just randomly just text her or Messenger and say like, hey, what do you, we'll call your underwear.
Yeah.
And
that's basically what it is. By the way, I got super, super excited when she said what she wanted her instant message name to be.
Oh, that's
she wanted to be Rocket.
Yeah. I did too. I was like, wow, that's the best Rocket reference we've had ever.
The most subtle, but
I loved also that Giovanni Ribisi immediately is like, well, that's dumb. So I'm just looking at my notes here. Okay, so she does get a temp job, right?
Yes, Giovanni Ribisi like creates a temp job for her in the system because he hacked the mainframe.
He can't get into Harrison Hill's email, but he can like just hack the company and create positions and hire her, and she just shows up there like, oh, I guess you work here now.
And then, but he's apparently so good, but he can't. This is another like wonderful Chekhov's gun they introduce and don't do anything with. Because I'm like, how is she going to handle like the paperwork aspect of it? You know, of like, this is not her name, her social security number, all of this. Because at one point, a lady's like, all right, you got to fill out this I-9 paperwork.
And she just fills it out right then and there.
And just hands it.
I was thinking
like,
the same thing.
Did
like,
she hand her? Yeah.
Because the woman was acting like she was suspicious there, too. Because she's like, oh, where else should we attempt? At this place? And then she asked her, like, that new building over there is great, right? And Halliburton's like, yeah. And I expect to be like, there's no new building or something.
I know,
like, they never.
I totally thought this where that scene was going.
Yeah. That is where it was going.
They were kind of implying, because like, they were trying to figure out who would, like, the leak, because there's a leak.
Spy, yeah.
But she literally just started, so I don't know why they would think it was her.
That's a good point too.
Yeah, because how I didn't even think of it that way, because that you're right, that must have been what they were doing. They were like, hey, somebody check out that lady, it's her first day, but I think she might be the one who's been leaking information.
Like, her first day is the day they find out there's been a leak that's been going on for a while.
Yeah, that's right.
And then they're like, oh, she might be the leak, find out if she knows about the bathrooms at whatever other ad agency there was.
Yeah, that's that. I didn't even think of that, but you're totally right. Well, and this is also where this movie has so many storylines going on. There's this idea of like, there's leaks within this ad agency. There's something going on with Halle Berry's past.
There's a Reebok ad pitch.
The
Victoria's Secret.
Oh, God.
The Victoria's Secret party.
I feel like both Reebok and Victoria's Secret were like, this was a terrible decision.
Heineken was in there, too.
Heineken.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because there's Heineken's. Like, Halle Berry keeps drinking.
She was drinking. Yeah, she's always drinking a Heineken. And then Heineken came into the ad agency for one of the meetings, and like it's all Heineken bottles on the table and their logo on the wall.
There's like more Heineken product placement in this movie than those actual Heineken ads, like with Daniel Craig.
Well, like at one point they have like an ad meeting, and there's like a table full of guys wearing Reebok like shirts, and then Bruce Willis is all like, hey, welcome to New York City, what we call Reebok Town, or something like that. Like,
yeah.
I don't know why this is
still not as crazy as the product placement for Coke and Double Team.
That's true. They did step it back. Well, and I kept thinking that the senator from the beginning was going to come back that. So I'm like, there was a point where I was like, oh my God, I can't keep the storylines of this movie straight. And then also,
it's okay, because a bunch of them get dropped.
They just get dropped. Like her newspaper editor, who does have a scene where he comes back into the movie where he's like, hey, we need you back at the paper. And she's like, I don't know. And then that's it.
Yeah.
nothing else happens. I don't know why that scene was even included. It doesn't.
Well, she does end up back at the paper at the very end.
I guess that's true. I guess maybe that was how they needed to.
But they didn't need that scene in the middle.
No. I mean, you could have just been like, Because even right when she quits, the editor is like, hey, why don't you just take some time off and come back? So she could have just come back.
So this is where we do meet Harrison Hill, Bruce Willis.
Yep.
Who is really not trying at all in this movie.
No.
No.
There is no acting from him at all.
Yeah. It's just okay.
I was talking with a friend of mine a couple weeks ago about, like, when did Bruce Willis go from being an A-list movie star to being, like, in serious decline? And I'm looking at this and I'm like, oh, I think it's here. Like, I think we found the point. Like, because this is hilariously phoned in.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, if you told me that Bruce Willis shot all of his scenes in like 4 days, I would have been like, I would believe it. You know, he just seems to. If you told me that Bruce Willis never got the rest of the script, I would believe it. Like, if he just literally read his
own part
and was like, yep, I'm just okay. You know, it's kind of a bummer because I do like Bruce Willis, but like, this is just a very, like, it's so lazy. It's so like,
There's nothing to like about his character.
There's nothing to like about any character in this movie. I'll bring that up later.
There's things about Miles I kind of like. As creepy as he is, there's things about Miles I kind of like. And maybe that's just because Giovanni Ribisi.
Yeah.
You know, I like.
But at the end, even he's a guy you can't get behind.
Yeah.
Yeah. This movie, like, wants you by the end to hate all of the characters.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say the only character who comes out of this movie where at the end you could say, like, oh, I think that character's still likable, is Halle Berry's friend at the ad agency, the lady with the thing in New York accent. Like, other than her, I think everyone is supposed to be unlikable.
Yeah. Basically, it's her first day, they have her, like, filling bags because there's, like, a Victoria's Secret show that night or something, or some ad party.
Yeah.
So she, like, meets her friend who you just mentioned, who, like, gives her the lowdown on Harrison Hill.
The office gossip.
He's got a wife, but he's been caught cheating with other women who at the ad agency at some point in the past. But he doesn't do that anymore. And basically, just gives him the whole.
Okay, here's another story. Why is that a storyline, really? Or, like, why is it a storyline that it seems like there's a whole storyline of, like, Harrison Hill is hooking up with all of these other ladies.
I think it's established that he's stopped doing it. His wife is watching him closely, so she thinks, okay, well, Grace got pregnant, so that could have been a problem, so he killed her.
So here's one thing that really kept bothering me. The wife has tons of motive, access to the poison than he does.
Right.
They're clearly setting it up that she could be the murderer, but no one ever stops to say, what if it's his wife?
Yeah.
Right.
I think Giovanni Ribisi says it once, where he's like, this is proof that he killed her, or maybe his wife did. And that was like
throwaway line. I'm sitting there like, it's going to be the wife. Like, right.
I agree with you 100%. And I wish more than anything we could interview that actress who played the wife, who I don't think has any dialogue in the film.
The courtroom scene.
Oh, yes, you're right.
She testifies courtroom scene.
In the courtroom. Well, and you call it a scene, which is very generous. It's more of a montage.
Yeah.
I mean, and when they first kind of give you the first seed of that she might be the killer, I was like, okay, that would be interesting. That kind of piqued my interest in it.
Do you think the audition for the wife role where they just had someone come in and be like, hey, can you do a lot of side eye? Because I feel like in all of her scenes, that's what it was. You know, like, let's see how you do with it.
Oh, she has one other piece of dialogue when she calls to check on his schedule.
Oh, you're right.
Because she's watching him. She's been following him. And later on, she sees him with Halle Berry.
And hey, let's throw this on too. My other favorite character / storyline that goes nowhere is Bruce Willis's assistant.
Yeah.
Amazon lady who is, like, watching things like a hawk. And we get tons of exposition about this Amazon lady.
You know she's a lesbian.
Yeah, you know that she's a lesbian. Like, oh, she's cracking it down. And there's, like, a scene of her where, like, some other lady...
She, kicks out one of the assistants that was flirting with him or something.
And maybe even if she killed... Like, she could have killed her to keep him, you know, help him out or to keep him safe or whatever.
I think they wanted us as viewers to think that. But then I was like... Okay, but
I'm just pointing out all the other killers who would have been interesting.
Right.
Would have made more sense.
That's the thing. Yeah. There are so many other suspects, but no one in the movie actually ever talks about anyone but Harrison Hill being
a
suspect.
The killer.
Right. Like they bring in this Amazon lady, but no one Miles at one point, or Giovanni Ribisi, is all like interested in her, but not for criminal reasons. He's just like, ooh, tell me more about this hot tall lady.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, so that was really weird.
Yeah.
So they have to give Halle... So we get a lot of this exposition from... They give Halle Berry a friend at the ad agency who's basically like Green Lantern's friend. She's just there for Halle Berry to talk to and to get plot points from. There's no other... Like, she serves nothing else, which I guess is fine. It's just... It's so blatant that it's kind of funny. Just like... She felt like a cutscene character from a video game. Of like, let's cram some exposition into a short amount of time.
I feel like, just like the Austin Powers character, Basil Exposition, she should have been Gina Exposition. Like, that should have been her last name. That's her entire point.
That would have been great if that was her name. Yeah. And, I have a note in here about how Victoria's Secret is probably very sorry they ever even looked at this script.
That speech from Harrison Hill at that party was just stupid.
Yeah.
It was so dumb. Yeah.
Like, was it? There were a couple moments in this movie where I was like, was that supposed to be a joke that I'm supposed to laugh at?
Yeah.
I thought that was an outtake. Like, he actually screwed up his line, and I was like, no, I'll just leave it in.
I had a thought here. As he, like, flubs his way through this speech, and they kind of played off as a joke, I totally imagine Bruce Willis being like, hey, it's fine. Yeah. Moving on.
I'm not doing it again.
And the director and the crew being like, all right, what, you know, fine. And then we do, so then the whole, because I'm like, oh, there's this whole storyline of like, who is the leak in the Harrison Hill agency, which gets solved off camera, and then Bruce Willis throws a guy through a desk when he determines who it is.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, so why was that important for us as viewers?
I think it was to show that he had a temper, I guess, that he was temperamental, that he could get violent.
I guess so. Maybe I kept thinking that...
That was my thought. It was like, they're just showing that he can go off the handle and he could be a killer then.
Oh, he could be. Because at one point, I was wondering if the movie was trying to posit the theory that Grace was the leaker or something, like that she was the leak. And that did... By the way, this makes no sense. I don't know why...
But Grace didn't... Did she work there?
I don't think she worked there. I think she was just hooking up with him. But I was wondering if she was doing...
Like, got information from him and then gave it to him.
Yeah, like, what was that? Was it Firebreak or whatever? If it was that kind of corporate espionage kind of scenario. But that goes nowhere. Bruce Willis throws a guy through a desk and it's like, mystery solved. we found our weaker.
The leak does give a reason later on for Bruce Willis to fire Halle Berry. Yes. Without ever getting into the murder thing.
Yes.
But
there's no point,
it makes him suspicious, but...
It does make... I guess that's true.
But he could have still just said, hey, you're fired.
Yeah.
He didn't have to, like...
Yeah, he could have just been like, hey, why are you going to my computer? You're fired. Well, yeah, like, you know, sure, you're gorgeous, but that's really weird. Yeah. And there's a lot of like weird, like Christy said, where like Giovanni Ribisi is asked to be like that classic hacker where she's like, quick, I need a photo of this old temp hack into their personnel files. And
well, I didn't understand this either because, like Christy said earlier, Facebook existed at this time and MySpace. And so I thought he was going to get like a picture of her from one of those.
Right.
Right.
Why would, I mean,
to set it up, she's chatting with Harrison Hill.
On Instant Messenger.
On Instant Messenger. And he's like, oh, because she says her name is Veronica. And he's like, oh, the Veronica that, you know, I banged on the desk in the office. And she's like, oh, yeah. And he's like...
Because that's one of the things that Gina Exposition told her.
Yeah. Yes. And so he's like, oh, send me a picture. So she gets on the phone with Ribisi and he's going through the files at the company.
Yeah.
And he finds like an intern photo from like her ID badge, which has like the company name behind her on a wall.
Right.
So I don't know why.
Why would she send that? Yeah,
that photo? That would not be the photo. I was assuming that like, oh, here's her last name. Okay, here's her Facebook account.
That's what I thought they were going to do. Here's a picture of her on vacation on the in Mexico. Yeah.
Instead of like, why would that be the picture that she would choose to send to him?
Yeah.
That is when really he's dumb. Like sexting her.
Yeah. I didn't even really think of how dumb that is.
Yeah.
Which also kind of doesn't go
anywhere. Well, he never even sees the picture because he, like, as she's sending it, he gets up and leaves or something.
Yeah, he gets... It's all for nothing.
Because he's in the other office. She can see him on his computer.
So, and let's think about this from the Bruce Willis character's perspective as he's chatting with a former temp about banging her on a desk. And then he's like, hey, hold on. In his head, he's like, ooh, and there's a new temp. Yeah. Okay, I gotta go talk with her.
He gets up and goes to talk to Halle Berry, that's right.
And there's like a whole...
Whose computer is frozen with the picture of Veronica on it, so she's freaking out, trying to turn it off.
She's trying to turn it off, like, from the power strip with her feet, which... So he comes out to her, and he's like, oh, hard at work, huh? Because she's, like, typing away furiously, trying to get this stuff to get off the screen.
Right.
She does finally turn the screen off, and he looks... Finally, when he turns around and it's a blank screen.
Right.
That's suspicious, too.
He'd be like, yeah, really hard to work, aren't you?
Like, what are you doing staring at a blank screen?
Glad you're here at 7:30 at night typing on a blank screen. My money's going to good use here. Not weird at all.
Not at all.
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
That's what, I'm sitting there laughing. Like, what? Yeah. I would think that was really weird.
Yeah.
So he invites her to... He's like going out for dinner or something. He's like, oh, you should come out or for drinks with some clients or something.
Right.
And she's like, no. But then she's like, maybe I will. Wait for me, basically.
Right.
That's what she says to him.
Something like, yeah, wait for me. Yeah. And then we also somewhere in here get... there's two plot points that this movie is constantly like hammering the viewer with. And I didn't really understand why they were hammering them with us until the end. So we already knew... that Grace had been poisoned. Somehow somebody had already told us that. And then Giovanni Ribisi and Halle Berry have a meeting with the medical examiner where she's like, oh, I'm going to... And the medical examiner's like, yeah, Grace was poisoned. And I'm like, yeah.
We knew that already.
We know. You've already said that to us. And I'm like... I mean...
Also, I feel like this medical examiner was in a completely different movie.
Oh.
He was doing some, like, routine with food and stuff. It was bizarre.
Yeah, he was... That was one of the moments where I'm like, am I supposed to laugh at this? Like, he was in a comedy.
Yeah.
He was doing something completely different.
He's from, like, an Adam Sandler. Like, he was left over from an Adam Sandler set, and they just, like, brought him in. I mean, I guess it's sort of mildly spoiling. I think that... In the world of the movie, they did this scene because they wanted Halle Berry to make sure that Giovanni Ribisi knew that she was poisoned.
Yeah.
But they already knew she was
poisoned. Well,
I think it was the discovery of what the poison was.
Oh, maybe that's what it was. Maybe that's it.
Yeah. Because they knew she was poisoned but didn't say what she was poisoned with.
So he tells them that it was belladonna, and Halle Berry's like, oh, that's the stuff in that they use to dilate eyeballs.
Pupils.
And... so they find out that's what was used, and it's like you can't just like buy it at CVS or something. It's hard to get. So,
and here's the other note, and I want to show that this is in my notes. Why is everyone in this movie, especially Halle Berry, talking about the virtual tour of the Harrison Hale Age? I'm like,
we find out.
We find out, but I'm like, why does she keep talking about this virtual tour?
Remember,
like,
when virtual tours were a thing?
Well,
that was another thing that I was thinking of, like, what the heck time period is this?
I thought it was outdated technology, and then I'm like, oh no, it's a ridiculous plot point, but... Yeah, because I was like, okay, guys, come on. Like, virtual tours are not that new.
Yeah.
Oh. How gross, by the way. Like, a lot of this movie is people instant messaging. Like, a big portion of this movie is instant messaging.
And the faked voice makes it so much worse.
Yeah, that
was
weird.
Yeah.
Like, virtual tours are somehow a cool new thing, but... Giovanni Ribisi can take a couple of words of Harrison Hill speaking and recreate his entire voice to read every text message. And just creepy. And the fact that she then read out loud every one of her own. Like, you could read it on the screen. You didn't need her to say it out loud.
Right.
And it's like so much time. This movie, which is not short. I think it's like an hour and 50 minutes, hour 55 minutes. Like, a solid 20 plus minutes of that is just people.
Actually, I think it was only like an hour and a half.
It was an hour 40.
Oh.
Or hour 45, I think
was. Wow. That was like one, okay.
It moves, but a lot of it is just, it's like gross instant messages being
really
read
gross,
to you. And you're just, and at points like Halle Berry's like, ew. I think it's like all of our reaction. And there's sort of like a piling on quality to like some of these instant messages. We're like, we get it. Get it.
You don't need to go into detail. And then there was the time when turns out it wasn't Harrison Hill she was talking to. It was Miles.
Even though it was Harrison Hill.
It was Harrison Hill's name.
His account,
Yes.
But it was, so in other words, this is two people pretending to be two other people. And one person knows it.
Yeah.
Like,
that scene was mega weird.
Yeah.
I remember when that was going on, and it's revealed that Miles has been one of the Harrison, and I'm like, I'm gonna rewind and figure that. And I'm not. I'm just moving on. And
well, yeah. I know there's something weird and creepy going on with Miles too, because every time like they're on the phone and he's in his apartment, first off, it was like sickly green like lighting in his apartment.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Like
his apartment's made to be creepy.
Yeah, Miles lives in a David Fincher movie.
Or he's like laying on the floor like a weirdo. Or
yeah.
It's like, okay, there's something weird going on with him. And then you find out, but apparently, like, at that point, I thought it was always him as this addict.
Well, no, because sometimes they did show, like, that time when she was trying to find the picture of Veronica.
Right.
Like, they showed that it was
Yeah, well, that's why I confused them. Like, wait, was he always? Because then it's like, well, why would he take over his account sometimes to talk to? Like, it just seems like it would complicate things. Like, he had this other account he's talking to Ron. It was just weird. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was strange.
It was really weird. So they come up with this plan of, like, I mean, it's just kind of the classic, like, 80s, 90s thing of, like, okay.
80s, 90s thing in 2007.
In 2007. Of, like, okay, you're just going to, you need to download his hard drive. Or, like, somehow they need to, like,
need
you know.
Physical contact with his computer.
Yeah. She's going to put spyware on it or something.
Or something.
But I don't know. I think they're trying to, at this point, they're still trying to get into his personal email or something.
Yeah.
And she's blocked by anti-spyware, which just made me laugh the way it came up. I was like, again, it's 2007. Like, anti-spyware had been, like...
Yeah.
No, any anti-spyware company in 2007 that was using that kind of graphics would have been ashamed of itself. And Bruce Willis walks in while Halle Berry is trying to, like, do something on his computer.
Yeah, and she's on the phone with Miles because it's not working.
And it's not working. And she gives some kind of, like, bogus excuse of, like, oh, I was trying to find a restaurant for us to go to.
When they had drinks earlier, there was some special drink he ordered and he was telling her about. And he said, like, this is the only restaurant that has it or something. And so her excuse was like, oh, no, actually, I found out there's, like, 17 restaurants in the city that do them. So I was going to write you a list of each restaurant and leave it on your desk. And I don't
know. Yeah, and he kind of, like...
Because I have a crush on the boss, she said.
Yeah. I couldn't tell if he bought it or not, or if it didn't really matter.
I don't think it mattered.
Yeah. But he's still like, all right, we'll still go out to dinner. And... So I'm like, oh, how is this going to get resolved? Like, is this going to be like a question mark of like how, you know, can she pull the wool over Harrison Hill's eyes? And it's like, nope. Immediately while they're at dinner, he looks at her phone and there's a text message from Miles who's like, I'm still, we'll find a way to get to his computer. Don't worry.
And who starts a text with the person's name?
Yeah.
That's right.
Because it was like, I'll find a way to get into Harrison Hill's computer.
Right.
Like,
right. Yeah.
And why did he look at her phone in the first place? Just because he was suspicious of her still? Or like,
Seem suspicious at that point.
He seemed annoyed that the phone was going off.
Right. Yeah. And by the way, why is it going off multiple times for one text?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, the phone was ringing.
Yeah.
And it's just a text.
Right.
Yeah. And I have a note here where I just, because then Bruce Willis is offered, it's like, who do you work for? Like, you know, lists up all these ad agencies. And I just love that. Bruce Willis's character thinks he's in a movie about corporate espionage.
Yeah.
Like, I love that. His character is totally oblivious.
He has no idea that it's a murder mystery.
Yeah.
He's in that Harrison Ford, Gary Oldman movie.
He is. He's in that
Firewall?
I think it's Firewall. It's at Firewall. Yeah, he's in that movie. Yeah. And I was like, that's great, you know? And then somewhere in here, we get... Oh, this is also where Giovanni Ribisi... goes into the Harrison Hill office for a scene that...
After inviting Halle Berry to his apartment. That made no sense to me.
Yeah.
You invite her over for an early dinner and then you leave. Like, do you want her to show up and get into your apartment?
I don't know what happened there.
I didn't understand that either. I wondered if, like, this was a re-edit or something. Well, a lot of this movie felt like scenes may have been shuffled or retooled or... But so he shows up like to, because their plan is just like, oh, I'm going to pose as a computer repairman and I'm going to hack into Bruce Willis's computer, which I'm like.
That would have been a better plan in the first place.
Yeah, and it would have been better as a first off plan because now clearly Bruce Willis is super skeptical and like suspicious of this. And I'm like, this is really dumb. Why are they even doing this?
So that he can take the reality tour.
He can take the IRL tour, where Bruce Willis's Amazon assistant gives him a tour of the office. We never even find out if Giovanni Ribisi gets to look at Bruce Willis's computer
Once he looks at the photographs of the eyes, then it doesn't.
Yeah.
Leaves that part and never talks about it, never shows him
getting
into the computer or anything.
They bring him to some like green room or something, or just give him the tour, and there's like giant photographs of eyeballs and the
walls. Which have been in the virtual tours that we've seen.
True. And he asks the secretary or whatever about it, and she says, oh, that's his Harrison Hill's wife. She does this photography series or whatever, where she dilated these eyeballs and took pictures of the pupils, and it clicks in his head like, oh, she's got belladonna.
Yes.
Which we've already, we've heard several times that his wife has access to belladonna.
I think that had already been established.
It had been established multiple times, because multiple times I thought, why is no one saying it could be the wife?
Yeah.
Like, they talked about her family's a pharmacy company or something like that.
She's from a pharmaceutical,
So that's how, that's why it could be Harrison Hill as the killer, because his wife has access to belladonna. But nobody ever said, wait a minute, his wife has access to belladonna, what if she did it?
Yeah. And I guess we're now coming up on the scene. I have a note here just where I'm going to like, what is this movie even about? What is it about? I don't know.
At this point, Halle Berry walks into Sliver.
Yes.
Where she goes into Giovanni Ribisi's apartment.
Yeah.
Which they seem to be such best friends. Has she never been to his place before? Because the moment she walks in, she's looking around all sketchy. Like, even before she hears the computerized Miles sexy.
I think it's because she's like, wait a minute, he invited me here and now he's not here. I had to use a key to get in. So she's like, what's going on? And then she starts hearing that Miles is sexy thing, which we didn't mention earlier.
Right.
He makes this of her voice, like she did with Harrison Hills. He makes like a little text thing of her voice, like a
saying like Miles is sexy.
Saying Miles is sexy in her voice.
Yeah, he does a way better job on Harrison Hills' voice than on her voice.
Yeah.
So she hears this like going off somewhere in the apartment. And so she's like looking around all suspicious, and she like walks into the bathroom, and there's like very conspicuously like a rack like jammed up against the door, like hiding this door or something.
Right.
So she moves it and goes into the room. I don't know why.
What New York City apartment has all this space hidden behind the bathroom?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like this whole other like suite almost.
It's like two rooms at least.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. This is like the Friends apartment or something like that. We were like, these apartments do not exist in New York City. Yeah.
So she walks in and she sees there's like pictures all over the wall of clippings from like porn magazines, and then there's like a shrine to her.
Oh, it's literally like a stereotypical Hollywood movie shrine to her. Like, it would be, if you said, how could we do this in the most cliched way? You'd be like, candles, prop, check. You know, like photos that look like they were surveillance photos, check.
Yeah.
You know, like hearts, check.
Yeah. Like, there's like a mannequin or a dummy or something with her face on it.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
That has necklaces and everything.
Yeah. So she sits down, he's got a computer, and she opens up his computer and she sees that he's also on this chat site, and that he's actually this True Blue who she was talking to outside of talking to Harrison Hill.
Yeah, like her practice sexting was actually with him and she didn't know it.
And then she sees like his history, and one of the girls on his history was Grace. So he like opens that up, and then there's all these pictures of him having sex with Grace.
Like weird, kinky, like bondage-y sex with Grace.
Yeah.
And
at this point, Giovanni Ribisi gets home.
Right.
And he comes in and he's like, oh, can I help you? Like, what are you doing in my secret room?
Yeah.
And she freaks out on him, obviously.
And she says to him, she has a great line where she goes, you've been manipulating this whole thing.
Well, at this point, you're like, okay, obviously he has to be the killer, right?
I mean,
there's no other reason to have him have a creepy shrine room.
Right.
Like, why else would he have a creepy... Yeah, like...
And pictures of him having sex with the murder victim.
You've introduced a character who has a shrine.
They've got to be the killer.
Be the killer.
This will forever be known as Ribisi's Shrine.
Yeah.
Straight up,
Chekhov's. Yeah. But then she kind of, like... I don't even know how to describe this scene. Like, she kind of... He's like, no, I've got some information on Grace's death. And she's like... All right, I'm listening. Like, this guy is a shrine to you. Why are you listening?
Yeah.
Get out, you know? Yeah.
So he grabs her computer and he opens up and he like types in the thing with the virtual tour and shows her the eyeball pictures and he's like, tells her like, oh, she uses Belladonna to do this. And so
again, so says we've got him. Just
yeah.
Like again,
well, he says, yeah, we've got him, or maybe it could be her. But
yeah, he says, he goes, this puts the poison in his hands. Or his wife's.
Right. Yeah. Why is no one talking about the wife? Yeah. That just bugged me the whole movie.
Yeah. Well, because I thought they were purposely like keeping away from that so that when she
was
real,
when it was the wife,
I was like, oh, then, yeah. You knew it the whole time, but that didn't happen. So I was like, okay, that was just dumb.
So now Halle Berry goes to the hilariously stereotypical New York City cop.
Yeah.
And we get a montage. I think they had to do this as a montage because I think if they had done this in actual scenes, any audience member would have been like, that doesn't hold water.
Yeah, the fact that the entire police investigation was based on her
being like, hey, this lady died of belladonna poisoning and this guy's wife did photos of dilated eyeballs with that belladonna.
And here are some emails.
And here's like, some emails. Because I'm looking at this and I'm like, how are they arresting Bruce Willis? Like, they don't seem to have proof of anything.
Yeah, when they arrest him, I was like, yeah, what do they have on him?
And then I'm like,
besides the emails where they just say, you know, they're just setting up like, you know, hookups or whatever. It's not like,
right. I'm like, yeah.
It's not like he like emailed her like, hey, I'm going to kill you tonight.
Yeah. I mean, like, he was arrested on grossness? Yeah. Like, I don't think it's extreme, you know, and then we creepiness. Get this like super like sped up like trial montage and I'm like, wait, how's he getting convicted? Like, what is he being convicted with?
Yeah.
And at this point I was like, oh, I kind of held out hope that there might be a good twist and then it would be someone else.
When
and
I saw there's another like 10 minutes on the movie, I knew that.
I don't think I was looking at the time of the movie and I was like, seriously, it's just going to end with him getting caught like that. Well, I was even more disappointed.
And I was trying to watch it, and maybe I missed some pieces, because I was even like, I'm not sure what the evidence at this trial was. Like, you hear his wife at the trial, and there's some other, like, quick
Well, they did little tidbits. Snippets of, like, oh, they searched his car and found blood and bodily fluids.
Oh, they did say that. They did say that, which I was like, all right, well, that's okay. But I was like, this seems pretty flimsy, but all right, let's see where this movie is going. And then after all that is over, we then finally find out what the deal is with the flashback that, we kind of do.
So
you get the reveal first.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Which one does come first? The reveal or the flashback stuff?
No, it's... I think you're right.
Oh, the reveal, because the flashback comes with Giovanni Ribisi's voiceover.
Yeah.
So there's this voiceover with Halle Berry giving this whole monologue about something. I can't remember.
She's writing her story for the editor. Because the editor's like, they do a shot of the editor standing behind her. So she's writing the story about Harrison Hill getting caught. Yeah. That's her monologue.
Yeah. And then they do this whole thing where they're showing like Giovanni Ribisi in his apartment, Harrison Hill's wife in her house or her apartment, and then Halle Berry like in hers. Yeah. They like keep going back and forth between these two. And then they show like the wife go up to her medicine cabinet and open it. And then that cuts back to something else. And it cuts back to like, pulling out like a shaving cream. I think it was a shaving cream thing.
I thought it was like hairspray or something. Like some sort of one of those types of canisters.
Yeah. Where she like unscrews, you see someone unscrew the bottom and pull out like belladonna.
Yeah.
And then they close the mirror and it's Halle Berry. And you realize, oh my God, Halle Berry is the killer. Oh my Lord, I'm so surprised.
Yeah.
Which I kind of figured out earlier on because I'm like, this movie's trying to be more clever than it is. So it's not going to be Bruce Willis.
Right.
And it's not going to be Giovanni Ribisi. So unless it's the wife, which they really haven't set up, then for them to have a twist or like a big reveal, it's going to be Halle Berry.
Right. Well, and then we kind of get the flashback, which is that Halle Berry's mom killed her her father
sexually abusing her.
Yeah.
And so Halle Berry's mom, who, hey, by the way, is in a rehab center. There was like a 5-second clip for that.
Oh, that's right.
She kills him.
Yes.
To protect little Halle Berry, and they go and
I would say
they bury
by
him,
the way,
they bury him like in the front yard too.
They did see, which that's poor form. Yeah. Well, it's kind of, they show the scene and Halle Berry's mom first hits the guy to get him, hey, get away from her. And then she really kind of goes to town on him again, which felt almost unnecessary. It felt like a very Gerard Butler in an Olympus Has Fallen movie, where I was like, okay, now you're just like going to town on this
guy.
Well,
that's why they had to bury him in the yard instead of calling the police.
Yeah. Yeah. And they do. They like bury him in the front yard.
That's what it looked like. Yeah.
And like,
as they're burying him, you know, show a shot of Grace, the little girl, in her window. Because they established earlier on that she lives next door. And
yeah.
Her window's right there.
And Grace was like watching them like roll the body in.
Yeah.
So as a like 8-year-old child, Grace somehow had the wherewithal to start blackmailing Halle Berry for the rest of her life.
For 20 years or whatever.
For the rest of her. Here's my question. What did Grace... Because now we go back to that crucial scene in the subway station that makes no sense.
Then they flashback.
They do flashback to that. And show her saying, you know, you can't just bury people and pretend they never existed.
Right.
That line now makes more sense.
Because they tell people that their father just vanished. He just left.
He just left, yeah.
Right. What did Grace want Halle Berry to do? Did she just want Halle Berry to do an expose on Harrison Hill?
She wanted David Chayne to publish a story about Harrison Hill.
Okay. And that would just make Harrison Hill look bad, because Grace was just like, oh, this guy's a
Because she had
jerk.
Said, you're going to pay.
Okay.
So that would be how he paid, was to get, you know, to have an expose.
Grace wanted Halle Berry to do a story where she's like, hey, look at Harrison Hill. He's gross and instant messages with ladies.
Yeah.
But she's such an experienced blackmailer at this point. Why shouldn't you just blackmail Harrison Hill and get some money?
That's true. She's been blackmailing since she was 8.
Yeah, she's pretty good at it. She's got a... Okay.
So Grace uses this opportunity. This is Giovanni Ribisi like telling the whole story of like how or what he figured out and what happened.
Yeah.
Right.
So he says...
And this is where they go from like sitting on the floor in the hallway to lying on the couch to standing in the kitchen.
Right. Like, I wanted to see those like in between scenes where they like get up and stop talking. Just like, let's go to the couch and keep...
Should we, and I just want to mention, before we get to the end, I want to mention too, there was another random scene in the middle of this movie where Halle Berry's boyfriend comes back in.
Right.
And... she's like, I don't know, somehow they, like, they're supposed to go on a date and they immediately get into an argument. And
because Miles calls and tells her that the boyfriend is going in to be, for DNA testing for the Grace's kid.
That's right.
She's like, are you Grace's father? Or was it yours?
Were you still sleeping with
Grace?
Her? You
know, which she never asks Giovanni Ribisi in the secret lair scene. I kept expecting, was the kid yours?
Yeah.
Well, and then, like, Halle Berry's, like, freaking out on her boyfriend guy, or who she had been broken up with, but it's like, you killed Grace. Like, you're freaking out on him.
That's true.
I was saying that last night.
Yeah, you're freaking out on him, like, were you the father of the baby? Like, you killed her. Right. Like, what's...
And the whole thing that bothered me about this whole reveal is, like, she kills Grace because Grace has been blackmailing her, and she sees this as an opportunity to kill her and then pin it on Harrison Hill so she can get away with it.
Yeah.
But they go out of their way to tell you how brutal this murder was.
Yes.
I mean, the medical examiner literally says, like, this was a brutal one. Like, this is a brutal murder.
Right.
And so Halle Berry brutally murders her friend.
Yeah.
And this isn't just like, you know, I poisoned her and threw her in the river. Like, she really brutally killed her. So then you're supposed to, like, feel any sympathy for her now because she was being blackmailed. And it's just like...
Well, that's the whole thing. And now you're like, okay. Now you're like, well, Bruce Willis, like, yeah, he's wrongfully convicted. But boy, he's a serious jerk.
Right.
Halle Berry is a killer. Giovanni Ribisi is a gross stalker. Oh, I guess he's the last character left who I have any appreciation for. Nope. Not in 1 second.
What's I was going to say?
Because he's being all sweet with her. Right, like... Her head's in his lap on the couch, and like,
I thought this would be like some sort of redemption for him.
He's gonna be the nice guy that takes care of her, and then he starts to blackmail her. Yeah. And
he's like, what are you gonna do for me?
Now he's quiet. And I have a note here, I'm like, dude, you know she does not like being blackmailed.
you know how she reacts.
You know how she deals with blackmailers.
Yeah, that was not a smart decision on his part.
Yeah, and so she kills Giovanni Ribisi right there, tries to make it look like an accident.
Apartment. Yeah.
Well, like he fell on a knife?
She's trying to make it...
look like he attacked
her. Yeah, because she trashed the apartment, then she calls the cop, and she's like, I think we put the wrong man in prison. Miles just came over and attacked me, and I think he killed her.
Because she puts the bell down
in his pocket.
Yeah. And she's thinking, oh, they're going to go to his apartment and find the shrine, and you know what? Hey, shrines. You know, we all know. They're going to be like, all right, we
that
got
means
it.
You're the killer.
Case closed.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this whole movie, she's like goes like a long way to put Harrison Hill away for this.
So
the, and then at the end, she's like, he might not have done it. This guy, so he's going to set him free.
Well, because her, tell me if I'm wrong.
It just seemed like he was a pointless character, is what I'm saying.
The Miles? Or Harrison Hill? Oh, yeah. Oh, that's the hilarity of this. Yeah. And it's Bruce Willis. In the world of this movie, Harrison Hill is probably like, I have no idea what's going on.
I just want to know who leaked the stuff about the Reebok deal.
Yeah, should I have thrown that guy through a desk? Probably not, but, you know. So in Halle Berry's mind, her plan for basically the bulk of this movie was just to get Giovanni Ribisi to look at the photos taken
She told him to take the virtual tour a bunch of times.
That's why she was saying
But the way he figured it out was because when he looked at the virtual tour on her computer to show her the eyeball pictures, when he typed it in, it auto-filled it. So he could tell she'd already been there.
But not the virtual tour.
The eyeball.
The wife's website.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that he figured out then that she had been there and she was trying to drive him to that.
This is...
Because earlier on in the movie, when the medical examiner mentions that this stuff... That's Belladonna stuff, and she's like, "Oh, do you know what that is?" She almost—I mean, I think she actually does turn to Miles and says, "Yeah, that's the stuff they use to dilate eyeballs." Like she's like driving that into his head, so that when he sees this later on,
So, but that's like her whole big plan is that's why she's pushing the virtual tours. Her entire agenda is, "I got to get Miles to look at these photos of eyeballs,"
right?
And then the funniest part is for the Giovanni Ribisi character when he's like, "Oh yeah." When it auto-filled in on your computer. I know that happened like 3 days ago, but I've just now realized that an event that I noticed 3 days ago. Like,
actually, it was longer because that was before the trial. So that's true. Months ago.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But also, the whole thing about the eye photographs, they already knew she had access to Belladonna.
Yeah.
What is the point of the eye photographs? They established in that conversation with...
They're trying to be clever.
Maybe with or right after the... brain freeze morgue attendant guy that she has access to Belladonna. Knowing she took photos didn't change anything.
Right. Yeah. I think you're trying to be clever. I don't know.
It's so... Well, the last twist of the movie is that... another guy,
like some Hitchcock
unknown guy.
Oh, her neighbor saw the whole thing.
But they just... It's just ridiculous how they do it. It's like they just... pan over the scene and then to the window and like staring out the window some random guy just like looking at like through into her apartment.
And the direction that was apparently given to this guy was no, please look blanker.
Catatonic.
Well, this is my theory on... This is my other theory on the movie, and I don't have a so wrong it's right question, but I thought we could all come up with our own kind of theories on where this could have gone. Is I think as they were making it, they were literally making it like a choose your own adventure movie where they're like, we're going to make a movie that can go wherever we want it to go in editing.
Hearing that they shot three different endings, like that makes complete sense to me. Mm-hmm. And there are little scenes here and there that could be taken out or added that would point towards one or the other. I mean, it could be Halle Berry, it could be Giovanni Ribisi, it could be the wife, or maybe there was one where it really was Harrison Hill. But... I can absolutely see that.
I feel like they were actually... Because I don't know if you've heard our Sliver episode. The funny thing about Sliver is the guy... Now I'm even trying to think of the movie. Is Tom... No, Tom Berenger is not the killer in the
movie. No, but he was supposed to be.
Shooting of Sliver, Tom Berenger is the killer. In the actual film, William Baldwin is the killer.
Yeah, I think he was surprised when he actually saw the movie that he wasn't
the killer. Yeah, Tom Berenger basically watched the movie and was like, wait, what? Yeah.
You know,
Because they shot him being the killer. I feel like in this movie, they actually said to different characters, you might be the killer. We're going to see how we choose to put this film together.
I'm still shocked that Giovanni Ribisi wasn't the killer. I mean,
Because I was thinking, I didn't know how many endings they shot, but I would believe three. Yeah. So if they did three multiple endings, who do you think the killers in the other endings would have been?
I would say it would be Giovanni Ribisi and the wife.
Yeah.
I think those are the ones they were setting up.
Yeah. I would think so. Because I think the boyfriend was going to be a red herring in every iteration of the movie. Because he didn't interact with...
There wasn't enough of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two scenes.
And same thing with the Amazon... The Amazon assistant, like,
yeah. I do think it's possible because that maybe there's a version. I think that if I was picking another one, it would have been the Amazon assistant, but they would have had to give us more material. I think there would have been
more scenes with her.
Yeah.
Like maybe they would have taken out the flashbacks to the sexual abuse as a kid or something like that and yeah. put in mm-hmm. something.
Because we got a weird level of detail on her.
Yeah.
But I think, it was probably the wife, Giovanni Ribisi, and then,
They should have done like a assistant. Clue thing where they sent out like three different versions of the movie, and depending on what theory you went, you got a different ending. That
would have been great. Also would not be shocked if they had an original plan to release like via seamless branching where like you buy the DVD and you get to watch like three totally different movies of it. And probably at some point Sony was like, hold on, that's not a good idea. That will really discredit our whole film.
This movie's always been on my radar, by the way, because it came out when I was in college and we went to New York City for a trip for my radio TV broadcasting class. We went to Letterman and Halle Berry was the first guest and she was pushing this movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
The second guest was Barack Obama.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So, what happened to that guy?
I don't know. He's doing something now. Yeah. But it was when he was running. I think it was before the primaries even. So it was just like, I didn't even know who he was, but... But she was there pushing this movie. I remember there's just like posters everywhere for Perfect Strangers, like down the street. They were really like promoting it.
That's funny.
That reminds me of one of my questions. What the heck does the title mean?
Oh yeah.
I was like, who's a stranger? Like,
I think the title is from the perspective of the Bruce Willis character, who's probably like, whoa, that lady was the perfect stranger. Yeah. My whole life fell apart because of her. And I don't even know why.
That's really the only...
Because also, did Giovanni Ribisi reveal that when Halle Berry went for a ride in Bruce Willis's car, she like planted like Grace's DNA?
She planted the blood and stuff like that.
She poured it down into the seat or into the seat.
Okay. Yeah, that's... I don't know.
There's a lot happening there.
There's a lot going on. So, all right, let's go to Is It So Bad It's Good? Cody, let's start with you. You have the most connection to this film. I feel like you were part of it.
It's always been my radar, and the movie that I thought this was not the movie that it actually was. I don't know if I remember seeing commercials and stuff, but it was like not at all.
Yeah.
Like I would have expected Bruce Willis to be in it more. For sure.
Yeah.
It was just bland. I mean, the ending made it crazy, but I wouldn't say it was so crazy or so bad it was good. I just wouldn't.
Yeah, I kind of found it almost not necessarily forgettable, but like forgettably bad. Like it wasn't.
Yeah.
It was crazy, but it wasn't like, oh my god, like glaringly, awfully, visually bad. You know that some of those elements that that make something like, oh my god, you have to see this, it's so bad. It was just like, well, it's stupid and not really worth your time.
Mm. Yeah, it's like, the script is so bad, but that's hard. Like, it needed, like, I don't know if it is really, like, I don't know that I would recommend it to people, except people who really love the concept of horrid script writing. Yeah. You know, or like, horrid, like, plot structure and stuff like that.
I will say it did keep me interested in a way throughout, just to see where it was going, because I knew it was going to go somewhere crazy. Like, I knew it was just going to keep getting dumber and dumber. But I think the thing about it, it was really trying to be more clever than it was. And it was you could just tell it was trying to be crazy and just for the sake of trying to be something.
Yeah.
Like, oh my god, that was, you know, that blew my mind or something. But
it felt like this could have been just an episode of Law and Order. Like a 45-minute episode of Law and Order, and it would have been maybe fine. But, you know, when you add all this in. I mean, by the time the shrine comes in, I was like, the movie's just trying to up itself.
Halle Berry was much better in this, by the way, I would say, than in the other podcast movie she showed up in, which was Die Another Day, where she was horrid.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, this is also kind of the decline point. Like, this is right when you can feel it in this movie because all three of the leads, like, Bruce Willis was... This is kind of a turning point where he was going downhill as an A-list actor. And it's kind of where Hollywood was turning away from Halle Berry as a lead actress.
Yeah, has she been in anything good since then?
I don't think so. Because it's not long after this, like, she was basically, like, just starting to be like, okay, what pays, clearly. Yeah. You know, like they were ready to make X-Men Days of Future Past without her.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, okay, I'm in, you know.
Don't forget me.
And like, this is also where Hollywood, and Giovanni Ribisi's a great actor, but I think Hollywood is also realizing like, oh, he's not really a draw.
He's not like, the lead. He's the sidekick guy. You know, he's a really great actor for a secondary character, but he's not a lead.
Right. Yeah. Like a family in Kansas isn't going to, no one's saying like, hey, did you see the new chief? You got the Ribisi, you know, I got to get it. You know, he's more of like a respected, like actor's actor, you know? So it's just kind of like, oh, this is a weird kind of moment in time of like, no, three names that probably Sony kind of missed.
I didn't even know, literally until I saw him on screen, I did not know Giovanni Ribisi was in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. His
like
yeah.
I don't remember him being marketed like when it came out. Like I remember it being a Halle Berry and Bruce Willis movie, but I didn't remember.
I think in between when they cast him and when they released it was when they were starting to realize like, oh, he's not like from a marketing standpoint, he's not connecting with people. Great actor.
But, I really like him.
Yeah,
like I said earlier,
He actually he really does actually elevate some of this material more than it deserves.
He absolutely does. I mean, even though he's creepy throughout the entire thing, but until the very end, I still kind of like him a little bit. But I think that's really just because I like Giovanni Ribisi appreciate his work of what he's doing with awful material.
Yeah. If nothing else, this movie made me want to go to his IMDb page and be like, what other stuff from the past couple of years should I be seeking out to see Giovanni Ribisi's work?
I think he's on a show or something now.
I think he is.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was, but.
Something Pete. It's a Amazon or Netflix or something about a con man.
I
can't remember.
Stinky Pete?
Sneaky Pete or something.
Sneaky
Pete,
maybe?
Yeah.
Stinky Pete.
Yeah, that's like, that doesn't sound right.
That name has problems. So, very exciting news. Our next movie is, we previewed it one episode ago. It is going to be our next episode is going to be View to a Kill. James Bond takes on the mid to late 80s.
Which has, I think, my least favorite, one of my least favorite Bond themes. I was going to say least favorite, then I remember the Madonna one.
Wait, you don't like... Wait, View to a Kill is...
It's Duran Duran.
You don't like that song?
No.
Really?
No.
My Duran God, Duran. It's one of my favorite Bond themes.
Oh, okay.
Although I do... I didn't invent this, but I heard someone say recently, like, it's crazy that the name of that song is not Dance Into the Fire. Like, that should be the name of the song. I mean, when you listen to the song, you'd be like, oh, yeah, that's the song's name, right? And you're like, no, it's called View to a Kill or whatever. Wow, that is shocking news. That's the one thing I was looking forward to.
The theme song?
Yeah.
Nah, he's not a fan.
All right.
Many better ones.
Yeah. Well... Yeah. All right. We'll talk about that off camera. But that is going to be our next episode, View to a Kill. I don't know if it's streaming anywhere, but I mean, it's a View to a Kill. You can find, if you want to see it, you can find it. I think that's it. You guys have anything else you want to add in?
Nope.
No? All right.
That's all I got.
We'll be back here next time with we will return in A View to a Kill. Ooh, we never get to use that line. All right, bye.